a strategy under development for the Network Services 2020 telecommunications contract is focused on expanding the number of vendors offering service. And if you are a federal agency, basically, this one's going to affect you if you ever pick up the phone or send an email or do anything else online. Now, during the creation of the current contract called Networks, the General Services Administration inadvertently limited competition to five large carriers. You know who they are. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us to discuss how GSA is trying to learn from its mistakes of the past as it develops the new NS 2020. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
So NS 2020, I guess it has to reflect the fact that the world has completely changed and nobody dials a phone anymore. So what are they doing here? How are they going to increase competition?
Isn't it weird that, you know, I was talking to someone the other day and said, well, you got to use a landline phone. I don't have a landline phone. I was like, all you have is a cell phone? Well, I mean, I have a cordless phone. I was like, that is a landline phone.
It still plugs into the wall somewhere.
Exactly, exactly. So people still get that idea of well, this old copper wire. But NS 2020 is trying to move way, way, way away from that idea of a copper wire. And what GSA is trying to do is recognize the fact that there's a lot of people who are offering phone service who didn't offer it not only when they put together the network's contract, you know, more than a decade ago, but now with the voice over IP and all the other pieces that come into place because of the web and the cloud, there's a whole lot of more competition that's out there. Now, GSA is developing the strategy. Let's be clear, this is not a done deal, so there's plenty of different iterations to go through, which, oh, by the way, the first RFI that was for the first major kind of piece of NS 2020 called Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions, or EIS, was actually due yesterday. So this is all just the very first step in the very long process. And what GSA is basically realizing is that requiring every contract holder to offer every service, even if they are, you know, not nationwide, is not good for competition. So instead, what GSA is doing is breaking down the country into really three regions. You have the Northeast, the Central, and the Western. And this is not their normal regions where, you know, you're Region 1, Region 7, Region 8, whatever. These are really areas of the country that they're saying, can you, you know, provide services in that area, or can you not, or can you provide the whole country? Now, Fred Haynes is GSA's program manager for NS 2020, this EIS acquisition.
Open up this deal, because what I don't want to have happen is what happened under Networks back in the day. What should be the minimum requirement, geographic, for it to provide a compliant proposal? Well, we're based ours on, okay, you know, it's global. Figured we'd tier it, that those larger corporations, you know, like the Networks providers, who may or may, you know, make a decision that they don't want to lose the business they have, would bid that capability, so, you know, it'd be CONUS to no CONUS. Okay, great. But what about the national-based carriers? So we came up with a concept of core-based statistical areas, metropolitan areas. And we did extensive analysis on that, and we came up at looking at, based on our market analysis, who we think may be willing to play this time. It's a double-digit number. What should that minimum geographic requirement be?
And part of what the RFI is trying to do is answer that specific question. But Haynes says no matter what GSA eventually settles upon, the idea is competition, more competition, and even more competition. Now, Haynes and Kevin Gallo, GSA's NS 2020 program manager, spoke Thursday at the Independent Telecommunications Pioneer Association, ITPA, in Arlington, Virginia. Now, he says the end goal, you know, is really to make sure the winners under EIS can provide quality service to the government wherever they bid and wherever the government is located. It's a pretty simple premise, but it's not always easy to come through with enough competition. That's what they're going to try to ensure.
All right, let's talk about more about GSA's plans for NS 2020, as they're calling it. How is it going to be different from Networks, which I have a feeling not everyone to this day totally understands?
Well, not people don't understand, but they also aren't very happy with it in many regards. I mean, the services are fine, but getting to that service point was definitely not an easy task. I think several ways NS 2020 will be different than Networks, starting with the fact it's not going to be one big contract, but actually a series of contracts that all provide an assortment of services. Now, this EIS contract, which the RFI was just went out for, I mean, it was just the responses were just due for, that's really their big one. That's going to provide your traditional voice, video, data center-related services, Plus, it's going to provide an opportunity for emerging services, whether they're going to be delivered as a managed service or some kind of self-service delivery model. The point is they're going to look at this whole encompassing kind of piece of what we think of telecommunications. But Kevin Gallo also says that GSA recognizes that telecommunications market has changed over the last decade, which is basically the last time the agency planned a large-scale acquisition.
If you look at the way the government is procuring services, it is has been for a while now and is increasingly more and more procurements at the enterprise level. So we are also organizing to be able to provide services and respond to the changes there in the marketplace. So that's one aspect of the strategy. Systems, modernization of our systems, ordering, billing, inventory, expense management is another major initiative going on. And hand in hand with the systems is common and to the large extent automated processes, common systems there.
So beyond EIS, Gallo says GSA will try to take advantage of existing contracts and bring them under the NS2020 umbrella, whether it's under Schedule 70 or the more recent satellite communications contract. And then they're also going to look at awarding new technologies. Again, I think that the big example there is emerging technologies as things change, because this is going to be a long contract. So things are obviously going to change. New technologies will get introduced, and they'll do that when appropriate and necessary. Now, GSA is also aware of the transition struggles that both agencies and vendors had under networks, moving from the old FTS 2001 contract to the networks contracts. The transition was not good. Now, Fred Haynes says one way GSA is trying to help simplify transition is actually by reducing the number of what they call CLINs, contract line item numbers. He says there are more than 18,000 CLINs under the networks contract. GSA hopes to reduce that number greatly, maybe even down to 3,000.
The term of art that our contracts and legal people liked are unpriced CLINs, or under networks we call like agency unique CLINs. That'll live at the task order level. Networks today, what would happen is agencies go out for their fair opportunity decision, come back, make a decision, and then have to turn around and wait anywhere from 60 to 90 to 120 days to have additional items that weren't on the master contract modified to be put into the contract so they could begin the transition process and implement. We're not going to do that. Those CLINs that are agency unique that are not already sitting on the contract, pre-negotiated, will live at the task order level only. The ordering contracting officer, who will have lessons we're going to do from like what Alliant does, delegation of procurement authority, it'll be their responsibility to deal with the fair and reasonable assessment and make that decision. So it allows a lot more empowerment of the agency customers, as well as empowerment from you, our vendor community, to be able to offer and propose a solution that doesn't require every single time a contract modification on the master contract.
Now, this was a huge issue last time. It added complexity, it added time. Every time a statement of work or what they call a fair opportunity competition came down from the agency, GSA had to go, okay, well, what's the agency unique CLINs? Okay, now we have to add them to the master contract. Then someone's got to make, as he said, this decision whether the price that the vendor was offering was fair and reasonable. So there's potentially negotiations. So that just extended. And what they're going to basically do is come back and say, we're going to just let this happen at the task order level. It now becomes a negotiation between the ordering agency and the vendor. And I think that was one of the big complaints that a lot of people, both agencies and vendors had. And now it's good to see they're trying to fix that problem.
I don't think I've heard the term delegation of procurement authority in about 15 years. That's enough to make Jack Brooks sit up in his grave. They're still using that term. So, Jason, I guess the question is, by the way, we're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Industry has everything at stake in this. What is their reaction so far to the strategy so far as GSA has outlined it?
Overall, I think it's pretty optimistic because I think they like the direction GSA is going with NS2020. At the event Thursday, I talked and heard from several different representatives from the large carriers, consultants, other interested parties. I actually caught up with Tony Bardo. He's the Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes Network Systems. He says Hughes decided not to bid on the networks contract last time around for several reasons, but GSA's approach so far has them thinking a bit differently.
The environment they're creating is one for increased competition versus the sort of almost oligopoly that they've had on these programs over the years. They're certainly open to companies with a lot broader set of solutions and capabilities. So that's very encouraging. We are encouraged by the adherence to the schedule. In other words, they're really going to try to do something by, 2017. So, and have an overlap, which is a smart strategy because we know how long transition can take. It gives agencies room to breathe. It gives agencies that are ready to move on to the next contract sooner than later. So we find that very, very encouraging and an example of how GSA has been thinking about this.
Now, Barter says there's still concerns around NS2020. Of course, we're still early in the process. For instance, he says GSA needs to show how they're going to simplify the requirements for vendor back office infrastructure, such as billing or order taking. Again, that was very complicated under networks. And Barto says non-typical voice and data carriers are also looking at NS2020 more closely because GSA is not requiring vendors offer everything under the contract. Again, they're going to let those vendors focus on their strengths.
With all this new technology, I think Tony might have to change the name of his band. It's called the Dial Tones, and I guess that really dates the whole thing. So, Jason, what is the timeline for NS2020? As you said, networks still has some life left.
It does. It goes through 2017, but even then it may even be extended. So GSA schedule is fairly aggressive. It's going to start with the RFI that we talked about earlier. They're going to move to a draft RFP this November and a final RFP around this time next year. Now, Fred Haynes says GSA expects to award the EIS and its corresponding regional contracts, meaning this is the Northeast, but also the West and the Midwest, on a staggered basis by late 2015, early 2017. Now, I'm also hearing there could be a second RFI coming from GSA later this year, depending on the responses they get from this initial set of questions. Haynes says there also are other lessons learned from networks that will continue to that they're going to continue to look at and put into the schedule for an NS2020.
One way or another, we're going to have a 15-year deal. Here's what's going to happen. It's either going to be a 10-year ordering period and a 15-year performance period, or I've requested a 15-year period of performance. One of the keys to part of that if you have a 15-year deal, is, didn't talk about technology refreshment. Clearly, there's going to be technology refreshment clauses in there. There's the question about on-ramps. We haven't figured out how to do on-ramps per se under a FAR 15 deal. Really easy to do it under schedules. You just, award another schedule contract. We're struggling with that. Pricing, we're coming up with some different thoughts on how we might maintain pricing, because who can give me firm fixed prices for 15 years? How many companies are still going to potentially not be merged with each other in 15 years? We don't know.
Haynes says GSA is also planning for about a 3-year transition to go from networks to EIS under the NS2020. That will give agencies plenty of time to decide what and how they want to buy and then run those competitions. Now, again, EIS and NS2020 more broadly are at the beginning stages. I think GSA is heeding many of those concerns industry and agencies had with networks, and they're trying to come up with these fixes early on and get buy-in before those contracts go out the door. It's a very positive sign all around. I think agencies and industry are very, again, optimistic about this contract.